Father, too, we want to join in the words that you gave us to pray and say, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses.
And stop. As you pray those first phrases, you've heard a number of messages that should mean they all have meaning to you now. Because so often we go through them very quickly.
And we forget the meaning. So the different messages have helped us think about what that means. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We've been thinking about those things. And the last phrase that we used today was... Forgive us our sins. Okay, and I think we've got that up on the PowerPoint. We've gone straight to that one, that's okay. We're in the Lord's Prayer, and we go straight to the next one. Because maybe when you hear forgive us our sins and forgiveness, you're thinking it's going to be like a warm, soft, cuddly kitten for your soul. This nice little kitten picture type talk today. And if that's what you're hoping for, I'm afraid I might disturb you a little bit. So let's do the first disturbance. We'll get John and Eric to come. And what I'm going to do, Eric, if you want to come over this way. And we'll just give you that mic,
okay,
because in a moment I want you to say that to John. Okay, so just to make the introduction for you, Eric is the founding pastor here, and it was quite some time ago when John first turned up here, and maybe his life's changed a bit, because I think he was a bit of a mess sometimes.
Yeah. So
I just want you to imagine John crawling into church the first time on his knees. Coming a bit closer over this way. And Eric looks at him, probably with a bit of a sigh. And he says to John,
I think I need to send you to a church that specialises in forgiveness.
Okay, give them a clap. I'm also getting them to practice forgiving me for making them do daft things. But what is church about if it's not a place that specialises in forgiveness?
Really where it all starts. And yet, I want to tell you a story. And it's a story, some of you know that I've worked with people who've become street homeless and have quite rough stories. And this is a story told by
somebody who was working with similar people over in America. And it says this. It says, a prostitute came to me in wretched straits, homeless, sick, unable to buy food for her 2-year-old daughter. Through sobs and tears, she told me she'd been renting out her daughter at 2 years old to men interested in kinky sex. She made more renting out her daughter for an hour than she could earn on her own in one night. She had to do it, she said, to support her own drug habit. I could hardly bear hearing her sordid story. For one thing, it made me legally liable. I'm required to report cases of child abuse. I had no idea what to say to this woman. At last, I asked if she'd ever thought of going to a church for help. I will never forget the look of pure, naive shock that crossed her face. Church? She cried. Why would I ever go there? I was already feeling terrible about myself. They'd just make me feel worse. She needed a church that specializes in forgiveness. That story actually comes from a book called The Grace Awakening. And it's the opening story in that book. And Grace Awakening, Grace is about churches that specialize in forgiveness. Because the Bible specializes in forgiveness. You think of the prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 to 22. What do you have? You have a son who wanted to get his inheritance while his dad was still alive. I think you'd be pretty upset if that happened to you now, here in the UK. But even more so in an Arab culture that was wishing his dad dead. And it would have been very public for his father to realize some of those assets. The whole village and the surrounding area would have known what he was having to do to please the whims of this son who wanted his inheritance. But he did it. And his son went away and he squandered it all. He partied, he'd had a good time, he'd done all those experiences that now people list on their bucket list and everything they want to do. He'd done it all until the point there was no money left. And then the friends and everybody else deserted him and he was left eating animal food, pig's food. And he thought to himself at that point, even the guys who work for my dad, the servants in my father's house, are better off than I am. I will go back and be a servant in my father's house. Now that sounds like an easy end of story to us, but actually when he'd have gone back, you would have seen a whole village and community who had pent up anger for what this guy had done, and who quite likely would have grabbed him and lynched him before he ever got near his father's house. And yet you have a picture of a father who is daily, I guess, praying for that son and waiting and hoping for his return, keeping a lookout so when he sees him coming, he, in a very undignified way, gathers up his clothes and he runs to welcome that son back and protect him from the unforgiveness that there may have been from others in the community. And then, to be a servant in his father's house? No. To be welcomed back as a son of that party in his father's house. We have stories all the way through the Bible about forgiveness, and yet churches aren't known for it. They're more likely to be known as places that have forgiveness for sale. And if they offer anything, they offer anything free, it's guilt. Free guilt, forgiveness for sale. Do this, do that, give this, and you might be able to somehow attain, aspire to get forgiveness, when actually the Bible constantly is talking about forgiveness. But some of you will still think it's a soft topic. So I want you to imagine a world with no forgiveness. Actually, there's plenty of movies that help us do that. Unforgiven. The idea that somebody who has a debt, somebody who has caused pain to you, your whole life is going to be dedicated to making their life miserable and taking their life. Unforgiven. Most of your mafia films are based around that. You cross us, it's the end. We will come after you. There is no forgiveness if you cross the line. If we imagine a world without forgiveness, it gets pretty tough. What do we have to forgive people for? Well, actually, most of us in our lives have probably lived fairly sheltered situations. You all know I've worked in other countries, and one of my fellow missionaries was working in East Timor. And you may remember in East Timor, they had a situation where the different ethnicities within Timor turned on each other and started killing each other. And the UN went in there and tried to make peace and achieved a kind of peace so that you had these two communities that had been living together, that had turned on each other and had been killing each other, were now back living together. And a missionary goes in there, you know, that nice romantic life
easy time you have as a missionary. Everybody wants to hear the Bible, and you just go and tell them about God's love. Well, one of these guys came to that new missionary and said, "My neighbor killed the rest of my family. What do I do? How can I keep on living there? How can I relate to a neighbor who killed my mother, my father, my brothers, and my sisters?" You think of Rwanda. You think of Sri Lanka in this last week. You think of South Africa and the different times of apartheid and so on, and the Truth and Justice Commission. Because we all think forgiveness is about nice justice, somebody who did something bad goes off to jail, a bit of time passes and we forgive. But actually, the tough forgiveness has to put people together where really pretty hard stuff went on. But in the world where there is no forgiveness, that's not what would happen. We would have a significant population reduction. No forgiveness, as soon as we don't get on with you, you're gone. Make the churches much easier, Pastor. except there'd be nobody in. Imagine a world with no forgiveness, and actually it's not a world that we want to live in. So imagine freedom to admit that you've made mistakes and need forgiveness. Now I have a theory that an awful lot of people won't admit to a problem, probably especially men, they won't admit to a problem until we've worked out there's a solution. That's one of the reasons why we don't like asking directions. unless we know there's a solution, we're not going to admit there's a problem. If you don't know there's forgiveness, most of you don't want to admit that you've got a problem and that you need forgiveness. If you knew that your wife, your partner, your husband was going to work through a problem with you and would be able to forgive you when you got it wrong, it would be much easier to be open about the things that go wrong. If you think they couldn't forgive you, then you're going to get into that situation where you start hiding each other, hiding things from each other, and that trust is going to break down. Know that there can be forgiveness and you're able to admit you've made mistakes. There was a documentary series about at least 10 years ago, I think, on Formula One teams and the speed that they have to keep improving everything on. And one of the lines in there was, it doesn't matter how well you're doing at making your car go faster if the other teams are making it go faster still. It's not just that you're improving, you have to be improving faster than the other teams. So when they looked at how they achieved that, they had to have a no-blame culture. As soon as something goes wrong, as soon as you made a mistake, you've got to say what that is so that the whole team can look at rectifying that problem and getting the team going faster. They had to learn to deal with that. So I've been in places where everybody says they want to work in a team as long as they're team leader and everybody else is going to follow them. And that's given their idea of a perfect team. But a perfect team, to me, is not a team that has no problems. It's a team that has committed themselves to each other that when something goes wrong, they're able to work together and get past that problem. If you know that there is freedom to admit your mistakes and be forgiven, then you can start being honest with people about where you are at. I knew that there was no way that I could convey anything I wanted to in the message today. So I cheated. It's not a homework sheet. But I do have a handout for you that you can take, and I'll start passing them around, or get somebody to do some running around.
This is where I get paid to
do. They'll all want your job there. For couples, that's maybe a good idea. So.
So take that away. Maybe that's something you can pray over afterwards, start thinking over. Because most of the time when it comes to forgiveness, I don't think you're very good at forgiving. And you'll see there's a section in the front of there that talks about forgiving people. It says, how good are you at forgiving? I forgive someone if they say sorry, show they are sorry, make good what they did wrong, win back my goodwill by doing something for me. But if that's you, you're choosing to forgive is conditional on their actions. This means they have power over you and they may choose to do none of these things, in which case you're going to struggle to forgive them. So there's more on there than we can go through, except that we do have a model of forgiveness in the fact that we know that we've all messed up before God. We're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? Very simple line. You might look around here and you might want to line everybody up and decide who thinks at that end and who thinks at this end. Well, it doesn't matter what you do with the line, whether you clump everybody in the middle, whether that middle is near this end or near that end. If I say that the place of no sin is the doorway, none of you are going to get through it. You've all messed up. So you're going to really work hard to win God's favour. To say sorry, and I'll make it up to you, and I'll pay you back, and I'll repair what I got wrong. And you can't do it. The only way you can be right with him is through his forgiveness. Now, quick aside. Does saying, I forgive you, mean the problem disappears? Let's take a very simple, not uncommon problem. Your teenage son, daughter, gets a boyfriend, girlfriend, and we keep the getting theme going, they get pregnant. And they come back and they say, I'm really sorry. They might say that to each other. There might be forgiveness in both families. There might be forgiveness between the couple. But there's still a baby. And they have to decide what they're going to do to face that. Now, the best place to start facing that is in places of forgiveness. But you've still got to deal with the consequences of what went wrong. Forgiveness does not come after the problem is fixed. It comes first. So when we look at God forgiving us, he showed his love to us. He actively chose to show his love when we were messed up. And when he knew we would keep messing up. And he then also, separate to that, had to take action to make sure that he could put right the problem. And we've just come through Easter, and we've seen how Jesus, coming, living on this world, identifying with us, and dying on the cross, was a practical means to putting right the consequences of what we had got wrong. So, imagine what it means that God forgives us. I've got a video that will help you reflect on that.
And if you're listening on the podcast, you'll have no idea what happened in that time. Maybe we'll put a link to the video on there. But it looked at the ways that Jesus had to face rejection, had to face hurt from us. And yet, he showed his love to us. There's a little definition on this handout that says, forgiveness, clearing the record of someone who has wronged me and showing them love instead. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. There's a little guide in there too, which I call the prayer map from forgiving to loving, from forgive to love. Because it's not an easy journey. It's easy to say I forgive you and then to walk a million miles away and not see the person again. You might have fun if you want to start conversations with people, asking them about what they've had to forgive other people for. Some of it will be too painful for people to talk about. I can talk about quite a big one, but in a way it's an easy topic, because it was just about a thing. I learned from a friend very early on that if you lend your car to somebody, you should be prepared to never get it back. And I had a brand new van that I lent to somebody, and I got it back. And I started the engine, and there was a strange sound from the engine because they'd driven it for an hour after all the coolers had dropped out and blew the engine on the valley. But that's an easy story. The ones that are about our relationships and the breached trust are often harder to talk about. So we do need to acknowledge where we're hurt. We do need to know whether we might need to go and get help to solve the problems that have arisen. But at that first stage, we want to say that we forgive that person. And then I think it's helpful if we want to pray for that person, that we can see them through God's eyes and what he wants for that person. And then to try and be people who also want those things for that person. And then to choose proactively to forgive means that we then want to action loving that person. And then I put a strange thing at the end, which I would normally sum up as pray for China. Because our hearts are sinful hearts, and sometimes we find it very hard to move on from seeing the problem when we look at the person. So I think when we go through the sequence of how we forgive and how we want to look at that person through God's eyes, how we want good things for them, we then need to occupy our minds with something else. And I sometimes joke that's why the church is growing so well in China now. Because lots of people have gone through those steps and then have to find something else to take their mind off it and pray for China. But there are other places that God calls you to pray for, and other things that God calls you to be involved in. So go through the list and then say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Let me get back on with those things. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. When we realise what God has forgiven us for, when we realise that we've got freedom to be open, to say, God, I need your help. That's our starting point. And when we've come into that relationship with him and we've admitted our mistakes and our need of God's forgiveness, then we're equipped to be able to forgive other people and to go through the Lord's Prayer thinking with a God what we actually need to do to show love to that person as well. Enjoy praying through the handout. Thank you.